departments to police for summer without Walmart. So now we're going to beat our fire department?
Yeah, that's concerning.
Good point.
And that stuff is extremely dangerous. Especially what they're using, it's just pure ammonia.
Yeah, I seen it. I've been so goddamn busy.
Oh, G. John's screaming about it, a couple of the other aldermen.
What, did he want it or not?
No, it's the same reason they wanted it, they didn't want the power plant out there.
There's jobs here.
What?
Huh?
What, three?
I don't know.
It's a tank farm.
You have to have a farmer, a tank farm, don't you?
Yeah.
Some cattle.
Where are you going to put it?
How about Pleasant Prairie? Okay. Or how about Twin Lakes?
Okay. Twin Paddock Lake.
G. John's my cousin, do you know it?
No, sorry. I like G. John. He's
and I don't, you know what, to be honest with you, it's from my dad's side of the family, and I don't even know the man. Vince's brother, I kind of know. But, you know, my dad just is not real close with his side of the family. And you know how I met him? I was at a funeral. Right, when I got elected, you came up and said, congratulations on your winning the election. I'm your cousin, G. John. Hi, how are you?
I've had more conversation with Mike in the past 5 minutes than I've ever talked to you.
So that's what I always said, all the Italians are related somehow?
Yeah, I guess. Interbred somewhere, somehow. Huh?
Hey, what's this crap that they sent me from?
About the extension materials.
Not Teddy, I wouldn't say it. Not out loud in these.
You
might
have
thought it.
I wouldn't say it.
I forgot to bring this.
Mike's thinking out loud again.
Mike, so how long did the meeting last night?
10:30.
How late did you stay?
10:30.
Okay, I left it. 10:30. You left it 10:30. Then you left right before we went by 22. Well, I kept thinking, for as heavy as the agenda was, the later it got, I'm thinking, how can we concentrate on these topics?
I thought this whole Pfeiffer thing was going to be still taped.
It was.
It still is, right?
There was like 3 or 4 items that were tabled last night. Oh, that? No, it's come out of the table.
Is it?
Raiders of the Lost Ark style, you know, take it all off.
You going to talk about your thing tonight?
No, I'm not going to do a presentation tonight.
Oh.
Just here to answer any questions you may
have. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just ask for them exactly.
Oh, I can take that. Projectors.
Oh,
you appreciate a look at the audio file.
Oh.
I'll
find out how many jobs are involved. Did you go to that meeting?
No.
Oh.
Right, because they're going to let all you guys who start the academy finish.
Yeah.
But I thought everyone else coming in now.
Maybe that is true. That's probably true.
One-on-one leader coach.
Yeah. That
would be
interesting. I'm not
sure.
To keep two different things going on. Yeah.
But
you have one person.
Every day to
in this one, I think I am on a food.
I got a call from a teacher at
is we got these seminars where it's like blocks of time that are wide open. So what are you? Are you leaving the school?
You get one seminar, it's like out of your, you know,
So you don't have to show up, you just come like.
Hey,
what's going on?
Okay, how are you doing?
Good. You know, what time somebody said what?
Oh, yeah, we need to do that, don't we?
Not we.
Oh, yeah. I need to do that.
How you doing?
Hey, good. I think that's for you since it's spelled that way.
Okay, 6:34. I'm going to call the meeting to order so that we can. Are we on, Patty?
We are. I'm going to turn it over to caption all those other conversations.
She can edit those. She's really good at it. Okay. Director's report.
First of all, good evening.
Oh, I guess I should probably mention that all supervisors are present.
Really?
And one of our youth and governance. And Trina is not here. I didn't hear from her either.
I didn't either. I don't know.
Well, welcome, Heather.
Last evening, myself and Kristen Lee, our community planning educator, was on the agenda for the executive meeting. Chairman Molinaro had mentioned to me probably a month ago or 6 weeks ago that as a result of the reorganization of the county board committees, they were going to do as part of the resolution, there was an expectation that the process would be evaluated. How's it working? And that that would be due to the county board in January. And he said, so I'll be asking if, you know, as you think about particularly your committee, being one of those that was affected, what your reactions would be. Okay, well, I sort of thought about that for just a little bit. About 2 days later, I emailed him back and I said, Chairman Molinaro, how do you plan to evaluate it? Because UW Extension would be happy to help assist in that process. He said, oh, how do you ask? Yes. So last evening, I was there with Kristen and we presented three questions to the executive committee about the process in terms of what they expect and what the outcome should be. So I'm letting you all know that we will be embarking on an evaluation project to evaluate the effectiveness of the downsizing of the county board committees. And one of the questions I'm going to pose to you is, and I got a little bit of feedback from some of you, is an option is to do a survey. Obviously, that's probably the best way to collect the information. To do that online. And if we did that online, would that be the best approach? Last evening, the executive committee said, yeah, some of our supervisors will be online and some of them won't. Have an alternative option so that there could be, for those who won't use online, they can have paper and or a phone option. It's a great idea. So I'm posing to, now I've got a new group of supervisors here. What is your feedback? What do you think is the best way for us to collect that information?
Do it online and tell them to get out of their pieces.
I'm all for all that.
Yeah, they won't get out of the dark ages. There's just some of them that.
But if you have to provide an option, I mean, how big a deal is it to provide an option?
It's not. And that's the other thing is, I mean, if it feels, quote unquote, safer for supervisors for me to hand the paper version and say, for those of you who choose or are willing to go online, here's the website, and go and put that in. So that there is that alternative.
Supervisor Hallman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I completed a survey, I want to say about 2 months ago, that included 21 of 28 members of the county board and how they utilize technology. There are questions asked about who had a printer, how often they printed, whether or not they had their emails forwarded to their personal account, utilize the county account. Basically, in summation, the best option would be to do it on paper and provide an online option to those who are digitally savvy. And if you have questions about that, the research that I did, I can certainly pass that on to you. I know only one person has actually seen that PDF, actually two. That would be Chairman Rudy as well as Chairman Molinaro.
Actually, that would be helpful if you're willing to share that. I think that would be a nice piece of information to have as you start thinking through your options. The process has begun for filling our interim CRD position. The position closed on August 30th. We had 12 applications. We were screening them yesterday. Of the 12 applications, we're going to invite three individuals for an interview. Our interview team will be our colleagues in the four of us have been in the office and the community development program liaison. So there's a statewide program office. The position is only, it's interim, and it's only until June 30th. So hopefully I'm soon introducing a colleague. We extended recruitment for our bilingual nutrition educator. We've been chatting about that position. So I ask of any of you, if you know someone who would qualify, the minimum requirements would be a high school diploma and bilingual Spanish-speaking skills. That position closes on Friday, so I would like to strengthen that role. And lastly, I just want to mention that we kicked off Leadership Kenosha last week with 13 participants. So we have a wide variety of participants from the various sectors of the Kenosha County community, and we're really excited about that. We did our retreat at the Cooler Day Conference Center, and then Friday all day at Woodhaven Challenge Course.
Chairman John. Yes.
You said something about it, just jog my memory, the nutrition. On the Human Services Committee, we just approved grant funding for like a test kitchen via the WIC program. So maybe, I don't know if there's some coordination that might be.
We partner with WIC, so I'll talk to Pam and find out what.
I didn't know all the details, but yeah, we purchased, and it hasn't been approved on, it still has to go through finance and the full county board floor, but they're doing something with a test kitchen with WIC that I think maybe the nutrition program might be interested in.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
Any other questions? Okay, John, you're up.
Real good. I wanted to give everyone an update on youth programs, but I thought with the new committee to me, I thought it might be better if I took a step back for my 15 minutes tonight and talk about the foundation of how a lot of our youth programs have formed and the needs assessment tool that we have looked at in deciding where we were going to put our time and resources. So, and I do apologize to Supervisor Holman and Heather, because you've already seen this document, but I thought it was important that the other supervisors be brought up to speed on what young people are doing. From last year's committee, so this is the survey of the 40 developmental assets, which was completed last year. And if you've seen it before, I apologize, but if you haven't seen it, basically it's a snapshot of Kenosha County and what young people are saying about life here in Kenosha County. So, lots of great data in there, but I thought I'd just hit the highlights on a PowerPoint for you, and then if you have any questions, I can certainly entertain those. Basically, quickly, the presentation, the goals are introduce you to the Search Institute framework on developmental assets. Number two, to report out on some of the highlights from the 2010 survey, which you have in front of you. And then third, I'll provide some examples on how you can build assets with young people. And of course, having young people on county board committees is one way that we do that. The philosophy behind developmental assets are most youth surveys are around based around problems. How many kids drink? How many kids are pregnant? Those types of surveys. The folks that created the asset building approach didn't want to talk about the problems. They wanted to ask the question, what do young people need to navigate successfully through infancy, childhood, and adolescence? So
Basically, what do you need to have to raise good kids, right? Successful kids. And I think a lot of people, you know, if you sat down and interviewed them, they could tell you. What the Search Institute did, and they're out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, they tried to quantify it. So they came up with this framework of 40 assets or 40 things that young people need to be successful. The framework is really simple. The more assets young people have, the more likely they will be to have a successful future. And there are 20 external assets, or things that are around their environment, young people's environment, and then 20 internal assets that are things that they hold intrinsically. And if you have questions as I'm plowing through this, please
okay.
Jump right in. Yeah.
Assets are not material possessions.
Thank you. Yes. They are not material possessions. So, yeah, so as we are in a financial mode, right, we are moving. But it works like a bank account. The more assets the kid has, the more likely they will be to have a successful future. Not monetarily, per se, but successful.
What's an asset, like playing an instrument? Or?
Perfect question. We're going to go right there. External assets are around experiences young people receive from the world around them. And internal assets identify characteristics and behaviors that reflect positive internal growth and development of young people. So more specifically, and a little bit of background on this survey that you have in front of you. This was done in January 2010. It was administered to 5,491 students, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 11th grades, in both KUSD and non-KUSD schools. And I always have to say that because sometimes people are like, oh, you just surveyed the kids at KUSD. No, went out, got kids at Central High School as well and some of the other county schools as well. And survey participation reflected the diversity of Kenosha County in race, ethnicity, and gender. So they really did a nice job in sampling from all these different grades. Here's what we're talking about as far as assets go. When we talk about external assets, family support, and the way these percentages read is that is the young person saying that they feel they have that asset. Okay, so of the 5,000 that were surveyed, these are the reports of the young people saying they have this asset. So you can notice family support, 69%, that's pretty good. 69% of the youth that took the survey feel that they have a supportive family. However, when you look at family communication, we drop way down to 29%. Adult relationships, 50%. And what that means is that young people they feel that they have this good connection with an adult in their life. We're at 50%. Some people say that's really good. Other people say, boy, that means 50% of the kids don't feel they have that adult relationship.
And that's not including their parents, or is that including them?
On that particular one, we're talking about non-parent relationship,
right?
Caring neighborhood. 39% of the youth feel that they live in a caring neighborhood. Caring school, 35%, so one in three. And then, of course, parent involvement, as far as in their life, we were once again at about a third. Now, the premise is that the more assets youth have, the more successful they'll be. More about external assets. Community values youth. So this is, do the youth feel that the community values them? Only one out of four feels that the community values them. And youth as resources. Young people are given useful things to do in our community. If you ever read like the premise for youth and governance or youth as resources program, we cite these two assets constantly. Because we felt, wow, only one in four youth in our community thinks that the community values them, and only 27% feel that they are given useful roles, so that's where we wanted to hit. Service to others, we're close to 50% there, and then safety, about 46%. So we're almost at half. More external assets, family boundaries. I always like to say, you could replace the word rules for boundaries. So, looking at family rules. Do you have family rules? Almost half. School boundaries. So there seems to be more boundaries or more rules at school. Neighborhood boundaries. Once again, we're dropping back down. But I just think this one's interesting. Adult role models. Going back to this question of youth having positive adults in their life. Only 23% report that positive adult role model. Positive peer influence, 66%, and then, of course, high expectations, 56%. So as you begin to look at all these numbers, it begins to, you begin to get a clearer snapshot of what young people in this county are saying or feeling. Now we're going to look at creative activities. So this gets into the instrument playing and things. 1 in 5 say that they have spent 3 or more hours a week in a creative activity. Youth programs, we're doing much better there. Religious community, they measure that as an asset, as part of being part of a religious community, 1 in 2. And then time at home, and once again, they measured that not just by time physically at home, but time at home in a meaningful activity. So it's not just sitting in your room watching TV, but our family interacts. If you do that, once again, another asset. So these are the external assets, talking about the environment around. Then we move into internal assets, intrinsic assets. Achievement motivation, we're doing a pretty good job there. School engagement, about 57% are engaged with their school, not just putting in their time and getting out. I know Heather's very engaged with her school, so she's probably high on that number. Homework, assets, the folks at Surge say homework is a good thing. And so about 1 in 3 say that they get meaningful homework from their school. And once again, it goes to meaningful homework. Bonding to school, about 60%. And then, of course, this one shocks me. Reading for pleasure. Only 24% of young people report that they read for pleasure. And I'm like, wow, that's really, really bad. I mean, we need to do things in our community to bolster that. These are the positive values. So, caring, equality and justice, integrity, honesty, responsibility, and restraint. So, of course, they didn't ask the young people straight out, are you honest, or, you know, are you caring? But they asked questions around that premise to get at those assets. And that's basically what we're reporting. So some are doing better in, but, you know, restraint, 51%. So that means 49% don't have that asset. Yeah. We have some work to do. Social competencies, planning and decision making, about 30%. Interpersonal competence, 46%. And you can read all under 50% in these assets. Conflict resolution, 39%. And so you think about what you read in the newspapers here on the news, and you look at these and you say, wow, this, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Positive identity, personal power, 41%. Self-esteem, 51%, sense of purpose, 64%. And I always find this interesting. You go through all the assets and you see these numbers, these low numbers, and then you get to positive view of future. 73% still have that positive view of future. So I always like to talk to seniors because they're like, yeah, it's going to be great, right? Yeah. So sometimes I worry for young people, as I'm sure you all do too, because life out there is tough. Assets by grade, we can see they go down a little bit until we hit 11th grade and go back up. Some of that might be who's left in 11th grade. Students drop out of school. Won't be counted in the survey. Overall assets and how many of our youth have them? About 15% of our youth has 0 to 10 assets. 11 to 20 have 40% of or 40% have 11 to 20 assets. So if you add those first two together, 55% of our young people have less than half the assets. And then you can read the numbers as they go off. This is really striking to me. We talk about alcohol, tobacco, marijuana use. The more assets that a young person has, the less likely they will be, the less likely they will participate in risky behaviors. I mean, it's not rocket science per se, but I like the way they quantify it. They're like, the more we can build these assets up, the less problems we're going to have in these areas. And of course, the reciprocal is true as well. The less assets they have, the more likely they're going to have to participate in these activities. Asset building moves from like a problem focus to a positive focus, youth as resources, proactive behavior, claiming responsibility, everyone's involved, visioning, building, cooperation, and of course, hope. So as I go around and talk to parents and teachers and other folks about building assets with kids, and I usually, my audience is people that work with kids a lot, is how do we build these assets? And so the principles are all children and youth need them. Relationships are key. Everyone can build them. Asset building is an ongoing process. So you can't just do it one day and you're done. Kind of like parenting. Delivering consistent messages is crucial. And of course, duplication and repetition are necessary. So we talk about rituals and traditions, and that's why young people love those holiday traditions and things, because it's consistent and they know what's coming. And then we talk about things that young people could do to build assets, and I apologize for going so fast, but I want to make sure to keep on time. Ideas for adults, start at a young age. Get to know the names of kids in your neighborhood and greet them by name. This one has gone way down. I talk to adults all the time, and they're like, I used to know everybody on my block when I was growing up. Now, nobody knows. Volunteer and tutor, mentor, and then of course, when you see a child, a youth, make a good decision, let them know. That actually came from a youth and governance member a few years ago. They're like, hey, if you see us doing something good, come on up and tell us, because that's positive reinforcement. And then of course, ideas for organization, look for new opportunities, invite youth to participate, recognize children and youth and high standards for youth. Incorporate the assets, and then spread the word. And of course, if you want more information, you have some there, and there's the website. But I wanted to, and I apologize for the time, I wanted to give you a quick snapshot. So when we look at comprehensive needs assessment in Kenosha County, I found nothing more comprehensive than this instrument tool. So then when we step back in our youth programs, we say, where should we focus? We could focus on reading. We could focus on positive conflict resolution. Where we chose to focus, at least for the next 3 to 5 years, is going to be this youth as resources and also community values. With that being said, that's why a lot of our programs you'll see focus in that area of getting young people more engaged in the community and more part of the community. And that's what all of our youth programs are focused on. And with that being said, I'll entertain some questions for 1 to 2 minutes. Oh, and I got to hand out one more thing, too.
Are you going to do the study again?
They do the study every 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
It costs about $20,000 to $21,000 to do the study. And that's really the one big barrier. But what we also use the study for is writing grants. You wouldn't believe how many grants we write that use the information from the search instrument tool. And it's not just us. Human Services use the information, and a lot of nonprofits around the Kenosha community use that as well. Any other questions about the tool? I know I just dumped a ton of information on you in about 15, 20 minutes. One more piece that I wanted to share quickly is you see a green invitation. The 4-H Open House is coming up in a few weeks. It's right here in this building. Actually, we reserved the entire building for this event. We have all the volunteers from the 4-H program here, including all the clubs and the projects. We have about somewhere between 125 to 150 adult volunteers with this program. And they all come and show off 4-H to new members. So if you're around, you want to pop in, feel free. If you want to spread the word to neighbors and other friends, we have a club, a 4-H club, in every municipality in Kenosha County, including the city of Kenosha.
At Silver Lake.
Which we encourage people to go to Slade's Corners. Yes, yes. I have been working down in that place.
Do you realize how far away Slade's Corners is from Silver Lake?
I understand, yes. We also have one out in Wheatland as well. Yes, so we're Supervisor Decker, we're working hard. Yes. I will amend my previous comment. We have them almost in every venue. And with that, I'll stop rambling. So if you have a few more minutes.
Any questions? Thank you, John. I always enjoy your presentations.
Thank you.
And I'm very impressed that you get them before.
I'm impressed with myself, so.
Anything else for our extension education? Any questions for them? Even off topic? Supervisor Holman? He's thinking.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is in regard to the proposed survey of the committee restructuring. Will those questions that were posed to the executive committee be posed to the other committees of the county board?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Any clarifying answers, first of all, it's just to get their input on what they wanted as a result of the evaluation. So for them, as the executive committee giving the charge, what would they want this evaluation, the outcome of the evaluation to be? And we're under a tight timeline. We have to have the results to be by their December meeting. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's not going to other committees.
I understand that the timeline certainly would be sensible for the rest of us who have to participate to be involved in that discussion, not just the executive.
Thank you.
People are going to come and talk on that. Adam, sand, and gravel under citizens' comments. I think that once we had that hard rally.
Right,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Call the planning and development meeting to order. It is 7:01. First, we have our public hearing portion of the meeting. This is for consideration and possible approval of the Kenosha County Farmland Preservation Plan, second edition.
Is it my time?
I think so. I just don't talk into her.
Okay. So, I'll take it. For that, we're going to have Dan Feeler, County Conservationist, address the committee just to give him a few.
You said you weren't going to talk to him.
Well, kind of just introduce the issue, I believe.
Hi, I'm Dan Feeler. I work in the County Conservationist in planning and development. We brought the Kenosha County Farm Preservation Plan update to the committee for approval. This is a plan that that the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Protection delegated the counties to update their plans. Our existing plan was developed in 1981. It's pretty old. It hasn't been updated. It had no deadline. This plan goes with the Working Lands Initiative The county board approved a grant to get the plan prepared, and developed an advisory committee. The committee has met four times, has approved all the chapters. Chapters were then, the plan complete was taken to the Land and Water Conservation Committee for its approval, and they recommended approval by the Land Use Committee, the new improved Land Use Committee, Planning, Development, and Education Extension Committee. So I included a plan summary in the packet. The entire plan is available on the web. If you guys have read this, if you have any questions for me, this plan, we need to get this plan through this committee, eventually through the county board, and then it has to be certified by the Department of Agriculture and Fish Protection. And then that enables landowners to continue to collect farmland preservation tax credits. It also enables landowners to be available for the new programs that came with the Working Lands Initiative, the agricultural enterprise areas, and the Purchase of Agricultural Conservation Easements program.
Any questions from the committee?
Yes, ask for any comment from the public or any regarding the public hearing on the plan.
Are there any questions from the public?
Any comments for or against?
Any comments for the bill plan? Any comments for? Any comments against the plan? Any comments against? Motion to approve. Oh, Supervisor Holman.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
First by Supervisor Holman, second by Supervisor Decker. Union Government. Rest of the committee?
Aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Plan is approved. Thank you.
The next item on the agenda, is a public hearing on a proposed comprehensive plan amendment for Paul, not sure how to pronounce this, Olisak, 2057 West Chicago Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60622, owner requesting amendment to the adopted land use plan for Kenosha County, 2035, specifically map 65 of the comprehensive plan from park and recreation to suburban density residential, on tax parcel 60-4-119-163-0800, located in the town of Randall, and Mr. Bueller will give you the exact directions off the map.
This property is on the north side of Coney Truck Highway Z, approximately 1 mile west of Coney Truck Highway O. On the map, in teal is the property that's outlined in purple. It's going from Park and Rec to suburban density residential.
Do we have a representative from the owner present this evening? One step forward. And the correct pronunciation on that would be?
Alexia.
Alexia, okay.
Mr. Alexia here,
fine. Yes, we understand that Paul's father is here representing him as he could not attend this evening's out of town. So if you may just make a comment on what this proposal is for the committee. You need to speak into the mic closer.
The proposal is to require...
Could you pull the mic closer to me?
It should be on.
I think it is.
Yes, yeah, on.
Property currently contains a residence and a farm. It's an old farmstead. And Mr. Alexia is attempting to split the home off and hold part of the parcel. It's about a 10.5 acre parcel. And put a unit, a residential unit for herself in the barn. In order to do that, there's a series of things in terms of zoning. The biggest obstacle, which we're here for tonight, is that comprehensive plan has that parcel in the adjacent parcel to the east is zoned for park and recreation, which is one of the Randall and the Lakes comprehensive plan land uses. One of three ever noted.
Not particularly zoned, but it's planned for.
This is for land use, as opposed to zoning. first efforts to get the map amended to allow residential as one of the rental uses, which is conflict with the park and recreation that made it into the county. So it's kind of a technicality of changing use for that purpose for that reason.
Any questions from the committee? Supervisor Kohlmeyer?
So there's a house set on the...
Yeah, it's a little farmstead now, 10 acre plus, or so 10 and a half acres of a farmhouse and a barn.
And then they want to put an apartment?
No, they want to make a land division to build another residence. Oh, actually, yes, I believe it. Convert the barn to another residence, I believe.
Part of it into a smaller unit as opposed to the house, leave the house separate, which is currently occupied.
Okay.
So we ultimately need a zoning change, I believe, correct? Mm-hmm. And there's a conflict with the comp plan, so that's why he's asking right now for the comp plan change. Just to clarify for the committee, the town of Randall had their own comprehensive plan with the village of Twin Lakes, and they had multiple planning districts for this parcel, which would include residential and park and rec, so it would, the proposal would be consistent with the town of Randall plan, but it was not consistent with the county plan, since our county planners chose the first on the list, which was the park and rec, basically, and so there, that's the technicality that you refer to. So just so that's clear to the committee. So I guess at this point.
I got something.
Supervisor Underhill.
Is the barn's going to stay and you're going to add on to the barn?
No, we're not building anything new. There's an old barn in the middle of the big barn, two stories. And there's a wing to the north and another wing to the south. So the north wing, I mean, you put a residential unit in, just a one story unit, basically, for its own use, seasonal use. There's no new construction.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Anyone against this petition? Anyone against? From the town.
As indicated, the town, this is consistent with the town plan, so the town chair did not feel that it was necessary to have a public hearing on it. They are in favor that it since it matches their plan. So I don't have an official letter, but that's the comments from the town chair, Mr. Stoll. And just as a reminder of the committee that on this vote, as we do for all comprehensive plan amendments, we need a voice vote. Vote roll call vote.
Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the proposed comprehensive plan amendment.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill. Youth and Governance, how do you vote? Supervisor Hellman?
Aye.
Supervisor Gable?
Aye.
Supervisor Esposito?
Aye.
Supervisor Kohlmeyer?
Aye.
Supervisor Underhill?
Aye.
Supervisor Decker?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Approved. Thank you.
Next, we need a motion to remove the table for Brad Pfeiffer.
I have a motion to remove the table.
So moved.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Kohlmeyer. All in favor to remove from table?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Item is removed from the table.
Thank you. Mr. Pfeiffer, step forward. Okay, this is 22821 83rd Street, Salem, Wisconsin, requesting condition use permit to allow selling and repairing of trailers in the B3 Highway Business District on tax parcel 66-4-120-232-0400, located in the town of Salem. Mr. Bueller will give you the exact location.
This property is on the west side of Highway 83, just to the west of 98th Street on the back. And see, it is in purple.
Sir, could you state your name and address? And
Pete Pfeiffer, North 7673 Centennial Drive, Deerbrook, Wisconsin.
And how are you related to?
Brad, my son.
Okay.
He's out of town.
That's why I get that wrong.
I know.
Sorry.
Okay. We've pretty much gone over this several times. Does the committee have any other questions for this?
This property, of course, north of the Salem Town Hall for the trailers. We tabled it for some details to be worked out with the town of Salem. I believe those have been worked out. Mr. Pfeiffer has agreed to extensive conditions, including basically operation for a year and to come back after a year's time to basically discuss how this year's gone for future conditional use. That's just basic a synopsis of the situation as we know it today. I think we've addressed all the concerns in the past, but if you still have any questions, we can certainly have those answered for you.
Committee, any questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Anyone against this petition? Anyone against? From the town?
The town did approve on the Monday night of this week. And let me make sure. Yes, unanimously 4-0.
May I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the conditional use permit with, as long as he accepts the conditions of approval.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill. Youth and Governance, how do you vote?
No. Just one point of order. When do you expect Brad to be back in town?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay, could you see that he come in to sign the conditions as soon as possible?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Committee, how do you vote?
Aye.
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 Chair votes aye. It's approved.
And that'll be subject to conditions being signed, so make sure he comes in.
Yeah, nothing's changed. So.
Correct. He should be aware of the conditions, correct?
Hopefully, I'm wrong. You've got a lot of mileage in Canada right now.
Okay, well, it's in the next day or two. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no certified surveys this evening.
Okay. Approval of the minutes. Has everyone read them? And I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
I have a first by Supervisor Esposito and a second by Supervisor Gable. All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chair votes aye. Minutes are approved. Are we going to do citizen comments now?
Mm-hmm.
At this time, we're going to open it up to citizen comments. I know that we have some people here that wanted to speak to us.
This would be the appropriate time. Can we just get name and address on our sheet so we just have that for a record, right up front here?
Sure.
We do have several new committee members, so you might want to just...
We've got a gravel pit that operates directly next to several of our properties. Many of the people that are here. It was virtually dormant when we all built. The gentleman that had it before, I did not know his name, but he maybe pulled one or two trucks a month out of there. It's been since taken over, and the people that are operating now are operating 7 days a week, from 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, we're under
They're waking me up. We're calling constantly. You should have record of this now, John. You would ask for it. We're calling the sheriff's department on a regular basis because the backup beepers are starting at least at 4 a.m. I've heard them at 5 myself. The basic situation for the new people here is we've got a neighbor that's running a business that has no concern for his neighbors. We don't want to drive somebody out of business. But I think there is, or we all believe that there's a happy medium. The hours of operation have always been in contention. We've always tried to discuss it as people back and forth to no avail. They came in, it came to a head a year or so ago when they wanted to bring in dredging from the Great Lakes, which was not quite clean. No one could verify that it was exactly clean. That was basically, they had walked away from their permit for their
applied for conditional use permission.
But the sound, the noise, the hindrance continues on a regular basis. And it's, at times it gets worse. With 75 being reconstructed, we've been told all along that all they're legally able to do at their facility is grind and mine what's on their property. It's a 53-acre parcel. And when 75 went in, there was trucks coming in with materials on them and going out empty. I believe John and his group, I know Aaron was going to go on a site visit. Don't know if that happened, if it was successful, or any of those things. But what I guess we'd kind of like to know as a group, a couple of things. Number one, how do you define the grandfather clause? What is your definition? Two, where is the original document that allowed the hours of operation to be 24/7 to the original plan, landowner? And then again, 3 hours of operation. The original document that granted them the ability to mine to begin with. Don't know if that exists. But we're being told that they're being grandfathered in, so there must be a document in order to be grandfathered in. And then lastly was my point about the site visit. I was told one site visit was stopped, and there was to be another site visit. I don't know if that ever was carried out. And I don't know why you can't go in for a site visit. I understand that you were told that it wasn't safe. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you have the authority to say, all right, stop your operation for 10 minutes, we want to take a drive around? I mean, I don't know where your level of authority is, John, in terms of what you can do. But if you get a complaint that says that someone's doing, or maybe, or suspected of doing something wrongly, not to mention illegally, because they're not supposed to be stockpiling other people's materials, I can't imagine that you couldn't stop the operation for a short span. I'm not talking about a day, because you should have been able to drive through there and see a stockpile or not?
It's my understanding historically that we had to get the owner's permission to go on the property. Okay. When we did stop with the Land Use Committee, was that 2 months ago?
Last month.
Holly Pirelli indicated that, first of all, she didn't know we were coming that day, and that she would take us through the property in a different arranged time. We have recently contacted her to ask that to go through and to bring the committee members through the operation. She did send us a long email basically indicating that she was, usually our committee goes through on Tuesdays, which would have been yesterday before the committee meeting this evening. She had a family funeral yesterday out of town, and that for the next 6 to 8 weeks, there was this operation was going to be going on, and she was not going to be able to accommodate us
that was basically her response, which obviously was different from her previous response. That's the information we have to date. As far as the grandfathering question, I know that's very heart of this whole concern. That really is a legal question, and our, as I've indicated to a couple of the neighbors that have called, I'm very sympathetic, and I believe the committee is as well. However, we have to work within the law, and our corporation counsel has looked into this, and I guess will continue to. I guess it was our understanding that possibly you were going to have a counsel representing you, which I'm not saying you have to.
I actually just came from the hospital to here because I was in the hospital the last 2 days, or I wouldn't have counsel with me. But I've been in the hospital for 2 days. So I just got out this evening and came correctly here.
Well, I'm not saying it's necessary to have that. Right. I just said that you, I was understanding that you might. Yes. Right. And I would say if you do, we'd like the name of the individual and phone number, and our corporation counsel would talk to that person directly. And if not, I think maybe I'd have to take a name as maybe someone that you identify as being the leader of the pack here, that would be the spokesperson, and possibly the arranged to sit down with our corporation counsel, either with the counsel or without, to address the your basically specific concerns about the grandfathering issue. We don't have specific hours of operation for this because it's never come for a conditional use. And as you're aware, last October, when they did come for the conditional use, we did identify hours of operation. Holly did not agree to those and walked out of the meeting. So we did not make any progress with that. Historically, the county originally had the gravel pit. I think that predates probably zoning and all the rules and regulations. That's the extent of...
Typically, the way that I understand the law, when it's pertaining to the grandfather clause, the grandfather clause typically stays with the owner of the property. So in other words, if I own a restaurant...
It runs with the land. It runs with the use. As long as it's really continually used and not stop for a 12-month period a year.
It was. When we all bought our parcels, that was an inactive quarry.
Well, we would need some sort of documentation, which...
I don't know how we would get
I know, and I think we would like this, you know, from our end as well. But I can tell you that that is basically the law that governs the string of ownership or whatever grandfathering is, that it runs with the property and the use, and if it's not in use for a year to... For a year's time, that those grandfather rights are lost. We don't have documentation of.
So your counsel was not able to do any kind of record search when the sale of the parcel went to Holly Pirelli, and you couldn't find any documentation whatsoever that allows her to do whatever, whenever she wants. That he was not able to ascertain that. So why should we obtain counsel to do your legwork, basically? Because really, this has been going on quite too long.
We have
been extremely patient.
Yes, you have.
You just said to us that Holly doesn't feel like doing anything for the next 6 to 8 weeks, and so by that time, we're well into the fall, almost into the winter. Things will ramp down. Our windows are closed. We're not going to be as irritated by everything going on. And we've provided everything you've asked us. You wanted things in writing, we've provided that to you. We cannot trespass on this property and take pictures and show you loads of asphalt coming in. You weren't allowed to go search the entire 53 acres. And when I called you, John, and I asked you, you said you did a surprise visit. But she was there with receipts to show you, see, everything looks wonderful.
And we have no documentation of asphalt going in.
On the 17th of August, my neighbor witnessed a Adams Sand gravel truck, license number R16751, full of asphalt, pulling into the quarry. And, you know, he's driving. He's not going to stop and snap pictures for you to, you know, document this. We can only write it down and, you know, write letters to you telling you about everything that's been going on and hours of operation, whether it be 4 o'clock in the morning,
I believe the sheriff's police has a very healthy log of our phone calls that we make every time we hear this. And I'm telling you right now, Tripp just got out of the hospital, and I am sacrificing time that I could be spending with my terminally ill brother, who is in ICU right now, to be here, because I am not fooling around anymore. You have people that, this summer, I had black soot on my legs and feet when I walked across my lawn. My neighbors were as equally as alarmed as I was. And this isn't the kind of soot from walking through charcoal or...
Well, I guess all I can say, I'm not doubting any of your word. I'm just saying I have to have, for the attorney...
What is your course of action based on your response to Holly's long email where she basically doesn't have time to come back?
As a staff, we discussed that we would return email or call her directly that... We had this discussion this evening that multiple neighbors showed up, and we cannot wait 6 to 8 weeks.
And what about another surprise visit? Do you have to...
I have to have a permission. I can go there any time, but I have to have her permission to go on the property.
Will this next visit entail the whole 53-acre parcel, or are we going to just...
That's our intention.
You know, to see what Holly wants.
No, that's our intention, is to see the complete operation. And to, you know, at that point, we will take pictures, we will document... If there is asphalt there that shouldn't be there... Believe me, we are very sympathetic. We're very frustrated with her. We're very frustrated with the law on this issue. You have our attention.
I get that, but...
I know that. I can't give you any more tonight. But all I can do is, as I said, our attorney has agreed to meet with your counsel or Representative Frank Lopentesta is the county's chief corporation counsel. And he would be the gentleman that would address the legal issues of this. And I believe we're talking about 100% legal here.
Okay. What's this last name again? I'm sorry.
Volpentesta.
V-O-L-P-I-N-T-E-S-T-A.
You can address him in a second, sir. Or step up to this microphone.
Thank you.
Okay.
And he's located?
He has an office's... Well, he's a county office right downtown, so he's full-time county attorney. We have several. He's the chief.
Sir, could you please make sure that we sign the sheet right there?
But I guess I could say... Pardon?
So basically, you're going to respond to Holly's email and say, well, you know what, you had a bunch of neighbors here at the county meeting on September 14th, and we're not going to wait 6 to 8 weeks, then what?
We'll have to apply pressure. That's all we can do. I can't take the National Guard to her property.
No, I'm not asking that. I want my neighbors and I deserve the right to know how you're going to follow up on the due diligence, because I can tell you what's going to happen. This whole thing is going to die down over the winter, and in the spring it's going to ramp up again, and we're all going to open our windows and hear this all over again.
We're basically giving it to our corporation counsel to take legal action if there is something to take action on. That's the best I can do. I know it's very frustrating to hear that again and again. That's the best I can do for you. This sort of defies reason, basically, as a good neighbor. We all know that.
Well,
I know you've been very patient. Yes, I understand, and I believe when we had a meeting with her for 2 hours, we were looking for simple no Sunday hours, which I think is incredibly reasonable, and she did not give in to that. And so, believe me, we are on the side of the neighbors. It just may not appear to you at this point. And we will do everything in our power. And you have been extremely patient. You have been extremely patient. Incredible patience. As I said, our county attorney was hoping to be here this evening. He couldn't, but I would have to say that that's the next step, and it might be best. I don't encourage people to spend money. I hope that this can be done as a favor to someone that has an attorney. I don't want you to spend any more money than you have to.
What can we expect then in the next month, that your attorney is going to show up at the next county meeting, or meeting?
I would bring that up when you contact him. Second Wednesday of the month. we would take comment from anyone else that certainly came this evening.
Do you have the ability to look at her records to see what she's bringing in? Because she has to have some kind of documentation.
Yes.
You do? I mean, because I mean, it's off of 26 to 8 weeks. By that time, you know, Highway 75 is done. I mean, it's done now. I mean, she might, you know, who knows what she's doing in 6 to 8 weeks to get rid of the stuff. I mean, and if you look at her record, she's got to have a seat, you know, she's got to be getting paid on something.
It's our understanding that this is coming in as fill. Is that correct, Andy?
Yes.
If we can have a letter, I mean, if we have photos of asphalt coming in, that would slam it in court. So I'm just saying it may be.
But again, I mean, she's got to have some record, you know, financial record, you know, that's saying, you know.
She could hide. I'm just saying that.
You do have the ability to.
We can ask for records. What she gives us is another story.
It's another story.
Can I ask a quick question, excuse me, before you start? Would you have the ability, does the person that owns the road, that they have egress and ingress to the property?
That's a legal thing as well.
That's a legal thing, so nobody here can answer my question about
that. I believe that she has a legal access to the property through some arranged agreement that's on file down the Register of Deeds. Or it can be researched by you guys. But yes, our attorney, our staff can research that, yes.
Mr. Roth, in all due respect, I would like to believe that your empathic is sympathetic to our cause.
Can we just get a name as well?
Sure,
we can differentiate who's speaking here.
Sure, Mark Hagstrom. I've spoken to you many times on the telephone. I've sent you letters for your file that you stated you would keep in terms of our concerns regarding Holly Corelli and Adam's gravel pit. But in all due respect, you also stated that you contacted IDOT 6 weeks ago, regarding who had the contract to haul the materials. I've not heard back from you regarding that. You also stated to me on the telephone that you had the authority to go in there, not with owner permission. That's fine if that is the case, if it's owner permission. But when I spoke to you on the phone, and I could give you the date, you also stated to me at that time that you had the authority to go in, because I specifically asked you. I said, Mr. Roth, what is it that you would do?
Apparently I was wrong.
Pardon me?
Apparently I was wrong.
Okay, so please understand that our frustration, and we do feel like we're getting the run around and not the support from the county. I realize you guys can't, like, you know, you're not a work person. You can only do what you can do within legal limits. We understand that, but we also don't feel like we're getting the support at all from the county in terms of this issue. Anytime I speak to someone personally and have a personal conversation on the telephone, people will express to me their concern about how either, these are my words, unethical or unprofessional Holly Corelli is. And yet again, no one is willing to take a stance against her. I'd like to know, what is her deal? It's utterly ridiculous. We ran into the same issue with Brighton. It's almost like, I don't know what she's holding over whose head, but it's ridiculous.
But there's nothing there on that front.
Well, who's allowed, you know, because when I went to the Brighton County, or Brighton Board meeting, they throw it back in your court. Who's enforcing the ordinance for, there's got to be a
That would be the county.
Okay.
That's the county. The problem we have here is the grandfather issue, which we go back to again.
How come there's not a documentation for that? I mean, everybody talks about the grandfather and what she can do and what
there
she
aren't
can't
permits
do.
On record, so there, that's why I said there was not a conditional use that would have hours of operation. The county didn't have that. The next guy that owned the property didn't have that. Holly doesn't have that. So that's the problem here.
The problem is that how do you rectify this? Okay, when I'm in my yard that's quarter mile away from the gravel pit, and
I don't have an answer for you, sir.
My wife, okay, when you say that you don't know if you have the capability to go onto that property, did you check with your legal counsel?
Yes.
And he said, no, you can't.
We need permission.
You need permission.
Yes.
Then how do you get permission? When is there a way to do it when you have enough people sitting here saying there's something about when there's dark on my wife's and my dog's feet, okay, that's not right. So you can have recourse to say, you know what, something's not right here. You get the legal counsel and you say, you know what, something's not going on right there. And you take action. You don't say, wait, I'm not sure, I'm going to wait for them to do it. You have a chance to take action when you have enough people saying there's something wrong going on. when there's a black plume coming out of the gravel pit. And next thing you know,
do I have pictures of any of these? What, do I have pictures of? I don't have pictures of anything here, sir. I need evidence to go before a judge.
So you have enough to say, okay, you have enough people saying this has happened. Okay.
I need to have concrete evidence go before a judge with my attorney. It needs pictures of asphalt trucks. I need pictures of black soot, whatever.
A number going in with asphalt. Can you track that? Okay, why are we doing your work?
I think it's probably easier that you live there. You can photograph someone coming in versus us. Somebody.
You have better requests. Go track that license plate number of that truck.
Well, that doesn't do me any good. You need to have a truck filled with something going in full, coming out empty. That's what I need.
You want to sign affidavits to say that under law, under oath.
Fine.
Okay.
I need concrete evidence.
You have your attorney to have recourse to say, you know what, there might be something going on. We need to get onto that property. Not in 6 to 8 weeks. We want to get onto that property.
All right, then get me concrete evidence.
Okay. That is your job, to take the citizens' concerns, something that is in violation of what's going on, and it's been going on for a long time. It's been brought to your attention for how long now? A week? 2 weeks? Months? Months. Okay, and still you can't find a way as board to turn around and do something.
I'm going under the direction of a county attorney. That's who I have to go on this issue. I'm following
there
his orders.
There has to be more recourse for you being allowed as
you may make your
statements. Commission to be allowed to go onto a property that you deem that may have violations of your code. That's common sense. You need to be able to do that. And I'm sure your attorney, there is a provision that allows you to say, I need to go onto that property because I believe there may be a violation going on because of what you heard. There has to be a provision under law to allow you, as a zoning commission, as a planning commission, to go onto a property that you think may be violating. And if it proves it's wrong, beautiful, you're doing your job, you found out what was going on, you said everything's in permit, everything's right. But if it's not right, it's your job to go onto that property to find out what's going on. And this has been going on way too long for you to hide behind legal counsel.
Thank you for your comment.
Is it safe to say that a month from now, the next meeting, I guess we're all going to be back here again, and your attorney can actually put some teeth into what we're asking? I mean, because if they're asking for us to whip out some more pictures, Barbie has shown you numerous pictures of the kinds of damage that she's done to other people's property. And
I've seen tree damage. Right. I've not seen anything to do with asphalt.
Yeah, well, you know, I wish I had the presence of
mind. I'm not saying it's not taking place.
Pictures of this black, sweaty, petroleum-based stuff, but
I will let the attorney know this evening. He can certainly listen to it. We will be recording this evening. And as he indicated, he would call your counsel if you don't have counsel. I'm not saying you have to have counsel. A leader, someone that would he could discuss this with.
Is there a reasonable expectation that a month from now that a search, a document record search for this grandfather clause can be executed and we would have results of that?
There isn't going to be a record search for a grandfather clause, but you will have the attention of the county attorney. There isn't a search for...
Is this on paper, or is this hearsay, this grandfather clause? This is what we want to know. If it's on a piece of paper, and it's this person can cite this every time she's confronted with the issue, does it or doesn't it exist? This is what we want to know. And if it is, where is this piece of paper? Please produce it.
There isn't a piece of
paper.
The only piece of paper you have is ownership that went from one point to another point to another point. That's the only thing.
So if I sold my neighbor a piece of property and said, you know what? You can blow fireworks off on my property, because when I sell it to you, you can't. Because it's grandfathered and I was allowed to do it when I bought it. What is Where is the documentation that...
Why did she have to get a conditional permit to haul that...
She was going to do a new operation that required a conditional use, a new operation. That is the key point here.
Okay. So basically, she can basically do whatever she wants, whenever
basically,
she wants.
Basically, that's the problem.
The attorney will have to address that.
I just can't believe that.
It defies reason. I totally agree with you.
It's difficult to understand that, we all, this whole argument that's been going on for now a couple of years is hung on a premise that the grandfather clause exists.
No,
there's not a right instrument. I mean,
it's ownership transferred from one to and the operation, continual operation, as I thought I explained.
The original owner had it somewhere that he was allowed to operate whenever, and then when the county bought it, then it became grandfather to the county, and when the county sold it to the next gentleman before Holly.
When the county owned it, how long did the county own it for, do you know?
A lot of years.
Okay, was it dormant for 12 months?
No, they used...
the county ran it as a gravel pit?
They ran it as a gravel pit. They took a couple truckloads out every couple of weeks. They did not do a great deal, as I'm also understanding the second owner did not do a great deal, and that's where you got the opinion when you built that this was a pretty low-key operation, and I don't blame you for that.
No, we were told it was dormant. It was stripped. There was nothing left.
That was my understanding when the county sold it, there was nothing left.
What is the current zoning for the Troy Glen subdivisions in that area of NN and B?
You'd have to look on the computer. It's got residential for your homes, I believe.
So it's residential for our homes, but it's zoned what for the quarry?
It would be a
carte blanche.
No, it would be a mining operation. I believe it's mining. It's based on a 1983 comprehensive revision to the county's ordinance. We zoned property for what is currently being used as. And so if it's being used as gravel operation, we
so
put
since,
it...
So since we built, and it's now residential, we would have to be able to enforce just in our subdivisions noise ordinances because my neighbors can't, you know, go blow off fireworks or have loud parties or anything without the police being called. Why can't there be a noise ordinance enforcement for the quarry? If we're residential, I mean, I would think that is our leverage. Is that not true? Because really, I'm not seeing a lot of faith here in this mysterious grandfather clause. So then are we going to approach this from fact-based with us being zoned residential, then there's noise ordinances that have to be observed. Because really, then that's going to be our leverage because I'm not having a lot of faith in this, you know, grandfather clause. And we can retain a lawyer and your lawyer can all chat it up, but there's nothing in paper as far as from what you're telling me that's going to say how we can do this because two previous or three previous owners ago, they could do that 7 days a week or whatever. Well, I don't know. Was it 40 years that the county was operating? Because then we need to revisit the conditions for when that, you know, operation was happening for 40 years, a sale, some more operation of the quarry, another sale, and in the meantime, this area went from being zoned agricultural to now residential. And so we should be revisiting the noise ordinances for a residential area with a business in operation. And if that's the way we need to approach this, then giddy up. Let's go. Because I don't have a real great faith in whatever leverage we can use with a maybe an existence grandfather clause. Maybe.
Well, you may have to hit it. The county was the first one to mine here?
Correct.
Okay, so then the county's mining habits are what was in fact grandfathered in, correct?
The county's mining was before any zoning regulations were in place.
But I'm saying it was county-owned, right?
Correct.
So it was county workers.
Correct.
Okay. So county isn't typically anxious to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Because they have right. they have cost constraints from the taxpayers. I mean, just as a rule, I'm reaching here, John, but I'm reaching.
No, I think we've already established the fact that Holly's way beyond anything else that's happened there.
Okay.
We don't have to establish that.
Okay. All right.
So, Rob, if the county ran it, you said they came in with, you know, one or two trucks a month, sometimes 2 months or whatever. Is that on record? What we, you know, basically what we're looking for is if there was a 12-month period that mine stood still. And therefore, the grant clause, you know, the grandfather clause would be thrown out, correct?
Yes.
And, I mean, I know you guys don't have that at the top, you know. How could we find that information?
I guess, yeah, you could go back to the owner before Holly. And.
Well, I mean, probably the best bet would be going through the county. When the county had the best records, hopefully.
How the land was used.
And how often was used. And
I don't have that for the second owner.
No, I'm talking about when the county.
That doesn't matter.
Sure it does.
Well, I mean.
Well, it does because you said it follows the land.
Right.
The grandfather clause.
But when the county.
The grandfather
owned, when,
clause started with the county then, correct?
And the county didn't use it for a year. Therefore, all that gets thrown out, correct?
Yeah.
And there has to be records that the county owned the land.
That can be looked into.
How could, that shouldn't be that hard. How could we find that information?
I would
start how far, how long?
The county would have some records. I don't even know where to look, but we could look into it. Okay, for the county portion of ownership, the other part I don't have.
I mean, I have a hard time believing too that the county would just sell that property with no restrictions. Also, you know, I mean, there has to be some kind of documentation. You know, what they can do and what they can't do. I can't believe the county would just say, "Here you go, have at it." You.
I wasn't involved in that transaction. No.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I can't foresee that. I mean, there's no way, you know, they could do that. You know, they have to put some kind of restrictions on it.
Well, that's the excuse of paper.
That's kind of Holly's trump card, I guess.
Again, we'll take it all under advisement. I'm not trying to.
I understand
your frustration.
The only thing that you've told us that we could possibly do to help put some teeth to this is pictures. Because apparently the documentation of activities isn't enough for you or for your attorney. So what can we do?
We need to document.
Because we have called the police.
We need to document.
We have put it in writing to you.
We need to document there's new operations going on there that are outside the limits of
August
just...
August 17th, 4:36 p.m., Adam's sand gravel truck, license number R16751, full load of asphalt. It's nice, shiny, petroleum-based material. It isn't black dirt. We're not stupid.
Okay,
but
thanks.
We can't follow a truck in the quarantine. We take a picture of you. We can't. Can't. You guys can go in there and inspect and find asphalt. I put in my letter, I believe when you go to do a site inspection, you will find things in violation. But you couldn't go through the whole quarry. So we're, you know, our hands are tied. We can't do any more than we've been doing. And I'm sorry, but rubber meet the road time now.
Well, that's where it's incumbent on you. Talk to your attorney and find a way to get in there.
That's got to be
it's just real
6
simple.
8 weeks. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
Squeaky clean again.
I will certainly convey that message to him.
So our next course of action is through the attorneys. Is that right?
Pardon?
Our next course of action is through the attorneys.
To find, to look for
yes.
a piece of paper that may not exist.
And how are you going to proceed? What are you going to do tomorrow?
I'm going to call him and tell him what happened this evening because he's very aware that you were coming this evening. He agreed to meet with your counsel is what he told me. And I would have to say if there's not counsel involved, I would assume he would meet with the leader or several members of the neighbors. That's my assumption, but I would agree, I would think he would agree to do that. This is a legal matter that's in his court, I'm sorry, and I understand your horrible situation that you're in, believe me. If I could do something personally, I would.
Then we request that he contact any one of us on this piece of paper to set up a time that we can meet with
him. I would like to have one person.
That's fine. Take the top one, second one, third one, fourth one.
And is there a phone number on there as well? Thank you for your time. I'm sorry that you had to give up an evening for this.
We know it's not your fault, but again,
it's certainly frustrating.
I understand, and I will do my best to get some sort of action.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. I think any other business offered by law, I don't have anything. Oh, any other citizen comment?
Any other citizen comments? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Any other business allowed by law?
Can I make a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Oh, just as April indicated, in October, we're going to have our site visit on Monday at 11 o'clock. At that time, we'll also present the budget for the Department of Planning and Development. So it will be an official published meeting with minutes and allow you to make a motion and vote. So we hope that you can attend.
Any questions about the budget meeting for next month? It's on Monday.
We won't get our budget until after county executive presents it on whatever that is, the 4th, I think.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Sorry. Right. Whatever. I believe he's presenting it that evening. Right.
Okay. Any other thing?
Just Mike, don't work.
Yeah. That's not an amplifying one.
Do not go
there. That's just a recording one. We have a couple amplifying, and those are just recording.
There was a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Ever first by Supervisor Decker, and the second by Supervisor Underhill. All in favor to adjourn?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Meeting closed.
And this is the email that we just handed out to the rest of the commission. Oh, yeah. I got it.
Oh, yeah.
I got it.
Huh? I need mine.
Oh, you gave me the bill. Okay. Oh,